The pandemic exposed just how broken America's childcare system is. Many parents, of course, already knew. Most parents can't afford childcare, and early educators are paid poverty wages. President Biden's plan to boost childcare spending stalled in Congress, but now dozens of states and the District of Columbia are trying their own fixes using pandemic aid. Here's NPR's Jennifer Ludden.
Damaris Mejia has run a childcare business out of her Washington, D.C. row house for 6 years, with a decade of experience before that. On this afternoon, three toddlers draw the solar system while three babies nap. Mejia is proud of the high-quality care and education she and two colleagues offer. Research shows it's crucial for children's brain development and success in school. But she says it's a challenge to make it work financially, especially with new rules that require more teacher training.
So we have one teacher who is in university right now, and then another teacher who has her child development associate's degree. So we have to be able to give them better pay because of their higher degrees as the years go along.
Mejia pays her teachers $17 an hour. Now, that is $4 more than the national median, though in pricey D.C., it's only a smidge above minimum wage. Mejia earns about $30,000 a year. Her profit margin is razor thin. Sometimes she'll forgo her own pay to meet bills. She's behind on taxes, which is why she's so excited that this summer, the District of Columbia will send out large checks to childcare providers, $10,000 to $14,000 each.
Voy a tener unas maestras felices.
I will have happy teachers, she says. Those extra payments will launch a plan D.C. passed before the pandemic.
Our early learning system is in a really fragile state.
Kimberly Perry heads the advocacy group D.C. Action. She helped push through a new law that aims to make childcare more affordable for families and to keep talented early educators from leaving by paying them on par with public school teachers.
Their peers in the public school system doing comparable work might begin their careers making $60,000, $63,000 a year. That's a big gap.
The pay boost will be funded by a tax increase on wealthier households, but so far it only covers less than a quarter of what's needed. Across the country, dozens of states are now using pandemic aid to help families and bring back childcare teachers. Many left the field when the pandemic forced thousands of centers to close. The industry still has one of the worst labor shortages. Elliot Haspel is the author of Crawling Behind, America's Childcare Crisis and How to Fix It. He says it's become crystal clear. If early educators don't show up for work, millions of others can't either.
You can quite legitimately argue that if you want to reduce deficits, increase economic productivity, help with the supply chain, help with inflation, childcare is a key economic policy.
That's why Haspel, Perry, and others say the U.S. should invest far more in childcare, and that federal funding is the only real solution for what the Treasury Department calls a market failure. But right now, the U.S. ranks near the bottom of rich countries in public spending for early education.
Even for the lower and moderate income kids who are eligible for subsidy under the current system, only 1 in 9 are actually getting them. We see states like Texas that have waiting lists for subsidy that are more than 40,000 families long.
Beyond that, there are many like Tabitha Berkman, a married mother of three in Stamford, Texas.
We make too much to get help, but we don't make enough to actually help ourselves.
The last time she and her husband applied for childcare subsidies, their income was just $23 over the cutoff. Berkman is currently looking for work. She says it would make no sense if all the money she earned just went to childcare. But without that coverage, she just lost out on two jobs because she couldn't be as available and flexible as they needed.
I've just been picking up work where I can, whether that's mowing someone's grass, scrubbing a toilet, just anything and everything. I have fed a family of five and two dogs on $65 a week.
Last year, Texas actually offered 1 year of free childcare for service industry employees. It was a bid to boost the economic recovery, but the program was a bust. Advocates blame bureaucratic hitches and that disconnect with job hours. There's not much childcare on nights and weekends. But the state's child care providers are getting sizable grants, says Cody Somerville, who heads the Texas Association for the Education of Young Children. He says the money can go for rent, higher wages, a signing bonus, or more training. But still, there is so much competition with other industries raising their own wages.
So we see across the state, even with the increased funds to the field, that childcare is still struggling to attract and retain employees. And there are wait lists at most centers across the state.
In New Mexico, Rosa Linda Velarde says she and her husband are lucky to have wonderful childcare. They used to pay a subsidized lower rate.
Anywhere between $130 to $170 for childcare monthly. So, I mean, it was still a pretty big chunk of money.
These days, they pay nothing. New Mexico is using pandemic aid to make childcare free, not just for low-income families, but those well into the middle class. Velarde says it's been a lifesaver, especially with a new baby and her husband's career switch to driving trucks, plus, of course, inflated prices for everything.
Now, instead of using it for childcare, I will use it for gas. You know, so, I mean, it's either one bill or the other.
But that free care ends next summer, and all federal aid for childcare will stop in 2024. Many worry that will bring more pain for providers and parents. New Mexico hopes to cushion the blow. This fall, a ballot measure will ask voters to use a share of the state's oil and gas revenues to permanently fund early education. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News.